You are listening to our verse-by-verse Revelation MP3 series, a presentation of Victory in Grace.
The real city of lights, and it's not Vegas. You know, when people, and there's so many people, they see nothing wrong with Vegas, but we as preachers see it because we see the broken families. We see the people who have lost their businesses, lost their families. You know, you say, well, some people can control it. Well, that may be true. But many can't control it. And it's a city of lights, but it's not real light. It's a city of light to cover up darkness. But we've got a city of lights that there is no darkness to cover up. This is our capital city, the New Jerusalem. And this is after the millennium. This is after the 1,000 years. And I shared with our high schoolers this week, I said, if you were going to stand in front of this city, and I gave a couple of examples, would you want to be example one or example two? The one that has served Christ, given themselves, or the one that hasn't? The one I was referring to is the one we have over in the Philippines, Pastor Matt Wolf, and I won't say the other one. Who would you rather be? When you stand and you see a gate 1,500 miles high, a pearl, you see a diamond walls, you see streets of gold. Would you want to be the one that gave everything that you had? Or would you want to be the other? And we've got Pastor Edwin there and Pastor Resty Rivera there. And we've got people giving their lives there in the Philippines and people in India. And Dr. Ron Citron and West Indies, Dr. Birbal Budron. Don't you like that, Dr. Citron and Dr. Budron? I love that. It just kind of sounds good, doesn't it? Or would you want to be someone that just never quite said, well, I really want to serve him? Well, the first point is no need of a temple. And it says, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The temple. You know, we always, in the Old Testament, we always had either a tabernacle, one place where God's glory was, or a temple. The tabernacle was not permanent. It moved around. I've been to where they had their first tabernacle. We have been places in Israel that it just shows you where they were and what they did. And then we've been to where the temple was. One place. And the glory of God was in the Holy of Holies, a cube. And that's where the glory of God was. This one place. But now we're going to go and there's no temple. There's no temple. You know, we say all the time, this is not a sanctuary. This is a building. The church is the people. The church is not the building. When people leave the church, they leave the people. They don't leave the building. This building is not something, yes, we appreciate it. We try to keep it up. But we do not worship the building. We don't worship the people. We worship the God of the people. But the people make up the church. And we're going to see that very clearly as we look at the book of Revelation. And we've already gone through the millennial reign and the great white throne judgment and eternity future. There's teachers that teach, in my Father's house are many mansions. And it's nutty to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. How could you have mansions in a house? I did a quick study. I'm not smart enough in Greek, and either are 99 9/10% of those that quote Greek to be able to know. But I looked up today 40 translations. Just this morning I did it. Believe it or not, 20 of them say mansions. 20 of them say, some say places, some say rooms. And rooms separate, you have more than anywhere else, says mansions. How could you have a house with many mansions? My wife was just over in the West Indies. She was the island of Tobago. And they had this great big place where they met. And in it, there was about 10 different mansions inside of one place. I just throw that out because I get so sick of these modern day preachers telling you that they know everything there is and you can't have mansions in a house. Yes, you can. But here in Judaism, they have a temple. But now we're going to have the whole city. Zechariah 14:21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. See, everything's going to be. And all the sacrifice shall come and take of them and seeth therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Canaanites were the ones that were considered, you know, it's called the land of Canaan. They sacrificed children. Now I understand for a short time Israel did in the Valley of Hinnom. I understand that. But they did it all the time. I remember at Megiddo, the first time I went down to the Canaanite altar, where they had sacrificed thousands upon thousands of children. Now to get this picture, picture you grandparents, picture your grandchild being sacrificed. You parents picture your children, but not with glee. Joke, just a joke. And I went up on that Canaanite altar and I got deathly sick. And I got weak and I could hardly get off of the altar. They had to come and help me off because so many people had been sacrificed. The Canaanites were the wickedest people. And when it says no Canaanite will enter, there'll be no wicked people entering it. Everybody will be saved. Everybody be saved. So I want you to be thinking about that as we go on down, as we go down just a little bit more. The gates will never be closed. You know, now we have all kinds of alarms in this church, all kinds of cameras. We have the best alarm. We have not only a phone alarm, but we have radio remote alarms. We have all kinds of alarms. And I had a guy come in once. He said, if you were a church that was of God, you would never lock your doors. We're not during the millennium, my dear friends. You're not during past the millennium. We're talking about right now. We're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty here and now. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. She said, Daddy, you start locking your car ever since they stole it. You know, you see how a person could get into a kick like that that means nothing. It's had nothing to do with souls being saved. You know, during our grace conference that we had, this guy didn't mean it bad. But he says, why do you have that big flag and you got that little tiny cross? He said, the symbolism doesn't look good. And I'm just sitting there. Grow up. Get a grip. I preached my whole sermon on that cross. We don't worship that cross. We worship what Christ did on that cross. He said, well, why do you have the flag? I said, we're on TV. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. Also, it makes good color for TV. I said, if you've got your little tiny church, us four and no more, you don't need it. I didn't say that. See, we can spend all our time with stupidness like that. Some families, they major on minors and minor on majors. They're more concerned what the kids eat than what they get spiritually. The gates will be open all along. Man, I'm sure happy about that. God will be everywhere. He is now. But wherever you see God through all this, you always see God and the Lamb together. Where's the Spirit? We can't see the Spirit. Spirit's there. There's all equal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Trinity. No, I don't understand the Trinity. No one else understands the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. I believe the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what puts us together as a church. The Holy Spirit is what's going to make us all be raptured together. We will go up. Remember the church age at Revelation chapter 4? Did you, camera guys, did you follow me? Because I don't usually walk that fast. Remember that guy that sells ShamWow? Now, camera guy, follow me. I'd like to ShamWow him. I wouldn't buy the ShamWow. You'd be stupid to buy paper towels after ShamWow. I wish I could find it. I lost it. Revelation 4, rapture comes. And the Holy Spirit is what's raptured. But you can't see a spirit. No one can see God and live. But when we get up into heaven, everything's going to radiate from the Father and the Son. It's going to be so radiant. It's going to be so incredibly beautiful. Oh, man. I can't imagine a gate 1,500 miles high. Woo! I had a guy, I can't believe this, sometimes after church, he said, well, I don't like heights. Okay, not much I can do about that. Just make sure you lock your car. All the people are going to have it, this place. There'll be no races in heaven. You know, we don't believe in race now. We're all from Adam and Eve and from Noah. There's no race. You say, well, some of us look different, some of us different skin. Yes, that's true. But there's no DNA difference, hardly. I mean, just a minuscule. We're all one. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's going to be when it uses the word nations. Everyone in those nations are going to be saying that. And I'll get into that a little bit, but I'll be the first to tell you I don't totally understand it. I don't totally understand it. But we'll always be in His presence. We will worship 24-7. 24-7. Now, there's some people. Oh, man, I've got too much Christianity. I was born in a Christian home. I've gone to a Christian school. I've gone to, oh, man, I just want to go out and live in the world a little bit. I just want to experience the other side. But in heaven, 24-7, you're going to worship Him. Some people, that sounds boring. You know, there's nothing about God that's boring. There's nothing about God that's boring. Wherever God wants to put you, how many of you can say, God, I will do anything, go anywhere, do anything you want me to do and stand, anytime you want me to stand, and I will put my faith in you and not in man. That's easier said than done, but God never puts you somewhere that you're bored. Now, I was talking to Pastor Matt Wolf a few months ago. I said, Pastor Matt, are you and Rena bored? He said, bored. I have never had so much fun in my life. He said, this is fun. I said, but you don't have what you have. He said, we have war. Because what we're doing, we're winning souls every single week. And we're excited. Christ won't be the mediator anymore. You know, right now, He's our mediator. There's no other mediator but Christ between God and man. It's Christ. There'll be no mediator. Why? Because He'll be everywhere. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. He said He did not go to a place made with hands. The real temple's not made with hands. Ezekiel devoted 7 chapters to the new temple, but they could never get it right. The ideal temple reflected God's promise to live among His people forever. The Lord is there. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you'll worship him in spirit and in truth, but not in a place. Paul taught the people that not the church buildings, but now we're the temple of God. Down here on this earth, every Christian around the world. Now I realize there's some Baptists that don't believe that we have a universal church. They believe on only the local church. No one believes local church more than me. No one. But there's a universal church. And anybody that doesn't believe that, doesn't believe the Bible. There's a church, you know, that all goes up together. I had a preacher tell me the other day, I couldn't believe what I heard. He said, Dr. Scudder, he says, you're wrong. He said, at the marriage of the Lamb, it'll only be Baptist. He said that. I said, it can't be. Because the dead in Christ rise first, they'll all be asleep if they're Baptist. I said, are you? You don't even want to argue with idiocies like that, right? The guy's an idiot. Now, I know you're not supposed to use that word, idiot. He's a moron. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Do y'all want me to read this like Paul read it? Or you want me to read it like I'm reading it? Y'all want me to do it like Paul? Are y'all ready? No! Ye're not, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in him. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which ye are, which temple ye are. Now, I'm sorry, kids, if that woke you up. I'm sorry, parents, if that woke you up. We're the temple of God. God will not allow us to defile the temple. I don't mean you're going to be perfect. No one could be perfect. But if you're defiling the temple, some of you man going and you've got your little dirtiness on your computer and you're looking at porn every night, you'll never get away with it. You're going to pay the price. You'll be defiled. God will not allow it. You may be thinking you get away with it, but you can't. You may try, but you can't. You better pay attention. The Lamb is the Lamb. Point two. Revelation 21, 23 through 24. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine, for it is the glory of God to lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth to bring the glory and honor into it. Who are the kings? Who are the kings? He says, we're going to be kings throughout eternity. We're priests and kings. But who are these kings? Well, it could be us, but it could also be those that were alive, didn't take the mark of the beast at the end of even the millennium, that didn't rebel against God. I don't know. I just don't know. I wish I could tell you for sure, but I don't know. You know, Old Testament also talks this. Look at Isaiah 60, 19 and 20. I just want you to see this. Because it's there. I want you to see that this isn't just New Testament. The sun shall no more thy light be by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and in the days of the morning shall be ended. Wow! Isn't that something? Whew. Man, what a life. You know, we think we know. We say, man, the sun. Remember I told you recently that if we could harness all the sun's energy for just 1 second, if we could harness 1%, I mean all of the sun's energy for 1 second, we could run everything in this world for 1,000,000+ years. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? The power of God. Listen, don't pollute. But we don't need to get into all this green, green, green. I almost started singing. This divine light. There's no night there. Most of the time the word nations alludes to Gentiles, but this, it alludes to all those that are redeemed. It's not nations like we know them. That word, never, the gates never close, is an emphatic negative, and it's as emphatic as it can be. The gates never close. It's like the church. It's not the building. It's the people. You know, many a church loses their buildings. It's a horrible thing to happen. Many times it happens. You see it almost every week, some church, recently in Chicago area. And the people are still there. The church is still there. We have the glory of God. Man, the glory of God. I think of the 30 people that came at 5:30 to answer phones. I know it wasn't easy. I asked one of them on Wednesday night. I asked Walter, I said, is it hard to get up? He said, you have to have more than one alarm. I always set two alarms. Do you always set two alarms? I set the alarm on my phone. Did you hear about that professional golfer? He set the alarm on his phone, but he forgot to charge his phone. And he lost. He was at lead in the tournament and lost the whole thing. Now, no fisherman would ever do that. That really happened. And he said, man, I forgot to charge my phone. You're going, how do you forget to charge your phone? I charge my phone every night, every day. I charge it two or three times a day. That's the only big problem with the iPhone. It runs so many things, it charges down. Wow. For all eternity. We don't need rest. Man, I think that's one of the greatest things. You don't need to rest. You know, my oldest granddaughter, I've never seen a girl hate to go to bed like she did. You've heard me do this. And she'd come up with this milk thing. And she could just, the most pathetic. And I'd go down to Amy. She said, Papa, I want more milk. More milk. Go to sleep. I want more milk. It was the most pathetic cry. Did I give in? No. I never went and got her more milk. You didn't? No, I didn't. Come on. I'd have to have 10 trucks out there before she'd go to sleep. But it was sure cute. I wish I had it. I'd play it today, Amy. I want more milk. She never wanted to go to sleep. And the puppy didn't have that problem so much. Amanda. Phew. Papa, I'm tired. You mind if I go to bed? Amanda, it's 2 in the afternoon. Kind of exciting, isn't it? It really is. The kings of the earth are among those that have the privilege of ruling. I look back at my old notes. I went back and tried to study my old notes to try to figure out if this is the kings that were left or is this us. And I still don't know that answer, as I already alluded to. Point 3. Nothing repugnant can come in. Nothing repugnant. What if I'm hooked on porn? You say, why do you keep bringing that up? Because it's always a problem in this day and age. Didn't used to be. The dirty old man would have to go all the way across town to the dirty old places. Now they don't have to. And boy, I tell you what, you better get off of it. You say, well, how did you go to heaven? Well, because Christ paid your sin debt. But you're going to pay for it. You're going to still go to heaven. But you're going to still pay for it. You're going to pay on this earth. There is no exceptions. Gravity applies to all. And you reap what you sow applies to all. There's not an exception. Because you've justified your own sin. There's not an exception. God makes no exceptions. See, it won't have to be closed because everybody coming is to make tribute. To make tribute. The foundation speaks of the permanence of it. They weren't in tents of pilgrims and strangers. And now we are pilgrims because we're looking for that eternal city. We have to deal with pain. We have to worry. We have to worry about our children. We have to worry about our grandchildren. We have to worry about finances. We have to worry about keeping our lawns cut, doing snow plow. We have to worry about all this stuff. It's just hard. You know, down in Cape Coral, Florida, they just got a new building. It's so wonderful, and they had to get a lawnmower. They've got a lot of acreage to mow. I asked Mr. Harriman, would you help them get that lawnmower because they've got to get a good one. They have a man that's right around 80 years old, and he couldn't wait to mow that grass. But we have to still do that. We have to always work. You go out here, and there's always kids working on our yard, and they're doing a great job. No one ever comes up and says, "Man, you're doing a good job." No one ever comes up to so many of our people and ever says, "You're doing a good job." But it's all kept, and you're going to get rewarded for it. That's one of the great things. That's one of the greatest things. The walls and gates speak of protection. We'll never have a fear. Can you imagine what it would be like not to fear? Ever? You say, well, don't you trust? I do trust. But if my kids are traveling, I like for them to say, "Hey, Dad, we're home." You do too, don't you? I don't care about the kids, but I want to know the grandkids are home. You know what I mean. Won't have to do that. I can see myself in heaven. Where's Pastor Jim? Oh, he went to Mars to straighten it out. I watched these things, you know, on National Geographic. And it said there could be a million places in our galaxy alone there could be life. Now, they all admit they've never found it. Sooner or later, we're going to find one of these places in life. No. We are it. Boy, I love it when there's these people here that, you know, they've done their mathematical calculations and they know there has to be life somewhere else. There's going to be life everywhere, but it's going to be life from God. No, Christ only died on this earth. He only died once, and this is it. It's protection. Do you see it? Do you see how it's protection? The 12 gates, the 12 tribes, the 12 foundations, the 12 apostles. It's for everybody. Look at Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Wow. He's the cornerstone. You know, I'm always fascinated with cornerstones. When we built the church, my dad was a Methodist preacher in Carrollton, Kentucky. We put stuff in the cornerstone. I was a young kid, and I got to pick stuff for the cornerstone. I put stuff in that cornerstone. Now, I know I might have pushed the envelope, put a few of my toys in there. I always thought, well, if there are people from Mars, they can wonder, why would you put toys in the cornerstone? But I'll never forget it, and I'll put stuff in it. And I remember when we carried the cornerstone and we sealed it. The new church that we just bought down in Florida, or Cape Baptist bought, the church that sold it wanted to get the cornerstone. And we said, absolutely. And then they said, just too hard. It's yours. So they gave us the cornerstone. I couldn't resist. I went one night and I chopped it open. It had $200 million in it. No, I don't think there's anything of value. But it's, to some people, it would be valuable. And it would be valuable to them. We have spiritual renewal now. Not in the afterlife. Nothing unclean will come in. Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. This holy city from henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Boy, wouldn't it be great? You speak deceitfully of your father the devil. We're the ones in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at John 8:44. I want you to get it. It's very important. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When we speak a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. You know, someone comes to you, and they say, hey, listen, everything that they're teaching you in that Christian school is not always exactly right. There are other options out there. And you start listening. You just barely start at first, but you start listening. And in the end, you start swallowing. And you start messing yourself up. And you quit looking at all that you've learned. All the things you've learned. Everything that you have learned. And it goes out the window. Because you started listening to the wrong people. You didn't even get an opinion from the one that is over you. And then you start losing respect. And pretty soon, you're going to wind up listening totally to the devil. Everything in the devil's a liar. Everything he says is a liar. And everybody that follows someone that follows the devil, you're going to get nothing but lies. Period. Period. Our God's a God of beauty. His city's going to be so beautiful. I don't think we can comprehend it. I don't think it's possible to comprehend. What will we do for all eternity? Well, we're going to serve him. We're going to serve him. Wow, we're going to serve him. All the time. Listen, does that mean that's boring? Was it boring for you guys that went to phones this morning? Was that boring? Of course not. Is it boring? We will reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll serve him, but God in eternity will serve us. Does that get you excited? The creator of the heavens here will serve, and it'll be so much fun. Listen, you don't know what fun is. Anyone, well, I don't want to go out there and serve him 24/7. That's because you don't have a clue. Well, I'm afraid if I serve God, I don't want to wind up like Pastor Matt Wolf and Pastor Edwin. They're having the time of their life. And you're miserable. Because you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what it is to serve him. You just don't have a clue. Wow. We shall reign as kings over the new heavens and the new earth. What an honor. What an honor. Man. The greatest honor. Now, I want everybody to look to my right and your left. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's not of works. It's free. You imagine this is going out all over the world. Almost every country in the world gets this broadcast everywhere. And they get to see that this billfold represents sin. This hand right here represents you and me. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, you got to be sinless. None of us are sinless in this room. So how do you get rid of your sin? This hand, I mean it reverently, represents the Lord Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. See, I know I'm going to heaven. 1 John 5:13. These things were written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Know that you have eternal life. I know we're going to heaven. Listen, Christ says, I love you. I hate your sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He hung there, shed his blood. He shed his blood. He paid our sin debt. He paid it. We don't have to. It's all been covered. And I'm going to heaven not because I'm good, but because the perfect one gave me his righteousness and took my sin. And now they look at me as righteous as Christ. You said, now can I live as I please, still go to heaven? Yes, but you'll pay the price. You still reap what you sow. You'll still go to heaven, but you're going to pay for it. You sign something that says you will abide by the rules of our school, and you break those rules, you will pay for it. There's no exceptions. God doesn't accept you. You say, well, I've got excuses. I've got reasons. Doesn't matter. You reap what you sow. And you'll reap it with your children when you teach your children to be liars, because the liar you are, your children will enhance it. Your sins have been paid. God sees you and me as righteous as he sees Christ. Without sin. Without sin.
For more information about our ministry or additional resources, please visit victoryingrace.org or call 1-800-78-GRACE.